Like I said before, I'm honored to be here. I don't know how I got this privilege, but I'm just thankful for it. I like to preach. I like to teach. And I was kind of surprised when I got the text from Pastor Mike. And I said, sure, I'll be there right now if you want me to. Yeah, I think so. I pushed the button. It's on? Okay. The light ain't on, but it was on. Okay. All right. Okay, John 21 is where we're going to be this morning for a little bit. Tell you a little bit more about my ministry. When I surrendered to preach, I had no idea what I would do. I just started preaching for my uncle in Eldon, Missouri. I was about 22 years old, and I just filled in for him. That's all I did. When he'd go away, I'd fill in. And that set the stage for my ministry from there on, and that's what I've done for the longest time. I had a guy come to our church in 2009 that printed Bibles, Bearing Precious Seed Ministry. And he was going to go to Afghanistan for a year. He was in the military. And I got called into that ministry, went down there and worked in the print shop for a year and preached all over the place. I traveled whenever I had a chance. I traveled around raising money for paper to print Bibles on. And when he came back from Afghanistan, my home church there in Eldon, Missouri, had a preacher there that had run everybody off and just did something terrible. And so right at the right perfect time, I got to go back up there, hold things together, build it back up, and bring in a preacher, a good, solid King James preacher. And been 3 years now. Church has been growing. Got to our teenage ministry. It's out of sight for a little small town like we got. Our pastor's really young. He's 29 years. He is still 29, ain't he? And so he does really good with those teenagers. And so I'm there with him, and I get to help him. I get to fill in for him whenever he needs it, and I just go wherever I need to be. And it's been quite a ride, and I'm just now getting to where I enjoy it more and more and more all the time. And I've got my wife here. She gets to travel around with me, and she encourages me, keeps me lifted up, and there's so much value to that. All right, John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. This is a good picture here of when you go and you backslide, you're going to take people with you. And also, it's a picture of we can't do anything without Christ. Reading on, verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. Did you ever wonder why he gave us the exact number of fish in the net? You probably know why. We'll find out. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, thank you for this word that you've given us. Lord, I pray you just help me to get really small and let your word get really big. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we got a bunch of fishermen here. Why do you think that Christ chose a bunch of fishermen to be his disciples? In the last couple years, I've began fishing quite a bit. We had some people come to our church up there, and I'm always looking to befriend everybody that comes in there. Sometimes I can't, but I'm always looking to find some common ground with people, so that I can get in their lives and find out if they know the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, you can go and knock every door in town. People are not going to open up their heart to you. They're just not. You're just another proselyte. You might be a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon. You know, it's really hard to do that anymore. What Jesus really desires from us as individuals, to take some special time with people, get in and involved in their lives, and bring them to the Lord. I think that's our job today, at our work, within our families. If we just go around beating everybody over the head with the King James Bible all the time, everybody's going to run away, and they're going to end up in these other places where they do find love. I was visiting somebody one time, and the Jehovah's Witnesses had just been there, and they had offered to watch their kids and everything while they went out. I thought, my goodness, they're really devoted. What is wrong with us as God's true church? And I'm talking about myself. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I think about myself, and we get so caught up in our own comforts and what's comfortable to us. And it's the world that's done it to us. Everything's just right all around us. We don't ever have to feel any discomfort. And so when discomfort comes, or taking a little bit of our time away, we're like, I don't want to devote my time to something like that. We don't realize how much good that would do, and that those seeds that are planted because of that. Well, I think that's part of the reason why Jesus chose fishermen. Not all of them were fishermen, but a big part of them was. Because true fishermen don't get discouraged over a bad day of fishing. They just don't. I've fished all day before and not caught a thing. Because the fishing is always good, right? The catching's what's slow sometimes. They know tomorrow may be better. Doing the same thing that you did the day before, using the same techniques. Tomorrow, the same techniques might bring in a great catch. Sometimes the fish just ain't hungry. And even when they're not biting, a true fisherman will get creative on how to get them to bite. I ride with a guy to work every day. He's a bass fisherman. And he'll tell me sometimes, he'll say, you know, if a fish won't bite, you try every color jig or whatever you've got, you throw out there and they still won't bite. He said, then you start taking it at different levels. He said, you let it set at 12 feet and jig it a little bit. And you take it up a little bit farther if they don't bite there. He said, you got to be creative about getting these fish to bite. You can't just go there, oh, they ain't biting, and give up, or else you're never going to come home with a catch. And so that really spoke to me in a lot of different ways. We need to learn from these fishermen. They fished all night long. And they took the advice of somebody over on the shore they didn't even know who was. See, that's something about a fisherman. They'll take advice from other fishermen. I know I will. When I go down to the dock where I fish, there's a guy that come to work or come to church that owns docks down on the lake. And I tried to get in his life and his family's life. And as I got to do that, I got to go down to his docks and be a ministry to the people down there at the docks. I got to preach a funeral for a person down there at the dock, or for their family. Got to be involved in this guy's individual life and talk to him about his shortcomings, and he was an alcoholic and he didn't want to be. I got to preach his funeral and give the gospel to, I don't know how many people were there, 150, 200 people that filled that place. And I got to preach the gospel to them. Man, if I hadn't took the initiative to be a fisher of men, and I'm not bragging on myself, believe me, I struggle with that just as bad as anybody. But I do remember somebody took their time with me. And if I don't sacrifice some time and take my time with others, then I'm not going to see any catch. I'm not going to catch anything. And it was always told me that fishing was no good when the wind was out of the east. And so that was in my head, and I went to go fishing one day, and I got outside. You know how the wind's blowing out there right now? I got outside, and that wind smacked me in the face, and it was right out of the east. And my first thought was, well, I better find something else to do because they ain't going to bite today. And some reason, I said, well, I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm just going to go down, and it'll be a time. There might be some people there I get to talk to, minister to, or whatever. And I went, and I didn't do as good as I did other days, but I still brought home 12 big crappie. Took me a little longer than usual. But see, and that was one of the days I got to really talk to this fella I did a funeral for. If I had observed the wind, as the Bible says, and not went, what would that have done? We don't realize the seeds that God has for us to plant. You know, if we did realize it, I think we would be more apt to persevere through these times of, I don't feel good. I don't think I'll go today, or I don't think I'll do that today. Consistency is the key in this world right now, with children, with our loved ones, with people that don't know the Lord. They got to see some consistency in God's people. Okay. It reminded me of a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, that day that it was east wind. I'm going to turn there real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. I think I quoted part of it already. Yeah, that's the one I already quoted part of. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." And this is coming after Solomon is talking about, well, you can read in verse 1 there of Ecclesiastes 11. He says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." When I read that for the first time, we know what the bread is. You cast the bread on the waters. And remember Isaiah 55 that says, "My word will not return void unto me." If you cast the seed out there, you're going to see a harvest. When we get before the judgment seat of Christ, I believe when we bringing our sheaves with us, you know, we're going to see everybody that was touched by the seeds that we planted, by the times that we sacrificed in our lives. And if we don't ever do that, we're not going to see that harvest after many days. What they would do in Egypt, and Solomon had this knowledge, when the river Nile was up and out of its banks, when seed time came, if the river was out of its banks, instead of what we would do nowadays, is say, "Oh, I can't work. It's unworkable." They would go out and throw their seed in these rivers that were out of their banks. And after many days, after the river had subsided, and this is what it was, see, the seeds would go downriver and they would plant wherever they fell. Well, as long as your neighbors was doing the same thing, you'd have a harvest too, see? And so if they decided not to do that, there would be no harvest. And if we don't do those things that we're called to do in the Word, there's not going to be a harvest. I asked my grandpa one time, I said, "What happens if you don't sow your seed?" Like, he was a farmer when he was little. And he said, "That harvest is just lost." Not knowing what that truly meant there. You know, the people that God's put in your vineyard all around you, in your family, in your workplace, whatever it may be, they'll just be lost. Just be lost. But a fisherman is always willing to try anything. You know, Peter, he just did what men do. When times get hard, He backslid, he went away from the Lord, he went fishing. He just needed one last bit of instruction from the Lord. And I read that, I thought, maybe somebody is standing idle today, wondering what you're supposed to be doing. If you're waiting instruction, I believe this is it, right here. What instruction did he give Peter? "Feed my sheep." Not everybody can be a preacher or a pastor, but we're still supposed to feed the sheep. You know, all that time that I spent down at the dock, that is still bringing fruit today. His children, the guy that I preached a funeral to, never been in church, are going to our church now. What if I had not taken that initiative? It's serious. It's a serious thing. Have you ever wondered why certain people don't come to know the Lord? You ever wondered why people seem to get more wicked and more wicked rather than coming closer? I don't believe we're doing our job anymore as Christians. We're so comfortable in everything. And I don't know people here. I've met you a couple times, that's it. But I just know as a nation, that's the way things are going. The world's getting more wicked and wicked every day. And we're failing people, is what's happening. That's why they run to everything else. There's so much symbolism in this passage of Scripture. I think about the net that was not broken. And before, the net was broken. That's a symbol of the Old Testament and the New Testament. We get them in the net now, and they're there for good. But we've got to get them in there. How do we get them in the net? Remember when they had the big net of fishes and they called to other people to come and help them keep them in the net? We got to keep them in the net. Once we get them in there, we got to keep them in the net. I don't think we're willing in this day and age to put out the work that it takes to keep people in the net. It's a sad thing. I think of John 6, verse 66, that says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They left him. And they're going to do the same thing today if we don't put out the time and the effort. New Christians, you know, it don't take nothing for them to take off. And we've got a couple in our church that they quit coming a while back. And we got to talking, me and my pastor got to talking, and they were different kind of people. There wasn't very many people in our church that had things in common with them. But see, there's no excuse for that. I can find common ground with anybody. I've done it. There was a guy who came to church probably 4 or 5 years ago, before I went into that printing ministry. And the pastor that was there at the time, he kind of put me in charge of this guy. He had tattoos all over him. He just came in because he needed help with an electric bill or something at the time. His kids were in our King's Kids program, but he had never been to a service. And visitation time was coming around. So we had a time set aside that we would go and visit with people. And this time had come around, and boy, I did not want to go. I knew this guy, how rough he was, and he'd just soon pop you in the mouth and look at you. And I went and visited him one time. But I had to make myself go. I made myself go. But that one time, see, Christ showed up, and he was there, and not me. And this guy came to church from that moment on. And he's not in church right now. But he came to church from that moment on and was a member there for probably 3 or 4 years. He left when that preacher came that I told you about that ran everybody off. But if I hadn't, well, he got saved. His whole family got saved during that time that I was preaching there. What if I'd have let my flesh overcome me and I wouldn't have went? Whew. But have you ever wondered why we're given the exact number of fish in this passage of Scripture that were in the net? 153 great fish. I looked and looked and looked for this answer. For I don't know how long, how many years, I've wondered why. There's got to be some reason why. I went and seen that the church fathers said that's how many species of fish there were in that day. 153 different species. And that applies well. It's the end gathering of everybody at the end time. And so I ran with that a little bit, and I just looked through the Scriptures to see if I could find some pictures of this in the Old Testament. And in Genesis 33, we got the story of Jacob coming out of Laban's land with his family and all of his cattle. And the cattle, it means sheep, oxen, goats, whatever. All those cattle. And when they come out of, when he comes out of that country, see, Laban was a picture of the devil, being the deceiver of the world. And Jacob is a picture of God's people coming out from that in the end time, in the great harvest. And so, I just looked at some things in that passage of Scripture, and Jacob, when he comes out of that land and the sun's beating down hot, he builds booths for his cattle to shield them from the sun. Same thing they did in the children of Israel comes out of the land of Egypt, and they build booths there to shield them from the sun. And it made me think about the tribulation when the sun's going to be beating down on the people before they're taken out of there. Those that came out of great tribulation. The Bible says, and the sun will not heat on them anymore. Well, that word cattle is in the Scripture 153 times. I know we don't want to be likened to cows, but it's just a little picture. See, that's all that applies together. The species of fish, all of that. And none of them was lost. See, I love that. We're living in the time of the New Testament. If you can just get somebody in, get them to acknowledge their need of sin, get them to be broken and fall down before an almighty God and say, God, I need salvation. And then the wonderful thing is that God's the one that cleans them up. Every time I go fishing, the fishing part is so much fun. But the cleaning part is the part that I hate. With this, if you want to be a fisher of men, all you got to do is catch them. God says, I'll clean them. And let Him worry about the rest. Well, I know, because just as I told you a while ago, that fellow that came to the Lord and he's not in church right now, I know God's working with him. He's going to be back in church. I don't know when, but I know it's going to happen. I seen him change. He had earrings and everything. Those earrings came out. And he handed them to me one day. I know something happened there. And he wanted to do everything for the church. So I know some of you are thinking about somebody in your life right now. And that's good. If you come into the family of God, you can trust that you'll not be lost. I'm not talking about the professors that profess Christ. I'm talking about the very elect. When you come into the kingdom, you will not be lost. That's what that net represents. It broke before, see? But after the sacrifice, after Christ did the sacrifice, then the net wouldn't break. I love that. But now you have a job to do. Once you're in that net, you've got to get more fish in the net. What did the cattle do that Jacob had? What's their job? I mean, they just reproduce. That's all they do. That's what we're supposed to do. We get so comfortable sometimes just going to church, doing our thing. We're not thinking about when we go out them doors, the mission field that's there. My wife, she's an artist. She painted on the door going out, right above the door, you are now entering the mission field. So when we leave church, that's the first thing that we see when we walk out the door. It's the Great Commission. That's what we was commissioned to do. That's why we're here. That's why we're a local body. We sing that song. I'm sure you sing it here. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. We get to thinking that we don't want sinners in here. But that's who we want. We want the worst of the worst to get the gospel. God went after the lowest of the low. I believe that's where we're supposed to go. Bring the weary ones to Jesus is the last part of that song. The early church fathers, they started something. They had compassion. They had love. I believe that's the Ephesian church when Christ is telling them what's wrong with them. He says, you've left your first love. I see that in America today, that love. That's what the message is going to be on today, is His love. We're missing something. And I know it's hard in this day and age to love people that are unlovable. But I think back to when I was running amok, not doing what I was supposed to be doing. Somebody took the time. It was my uncle Jerry. He took the time to pray for me. Every time he seen me, he was just as gentle and as calm. And what did more for me than anything in his life was his life. He lived the most godly life, and he never beat anybody over the head with it. And that's what brought me in. It really was. And so now I try to take that and use that on others. I'll tell stories about some people in the message this morning, of people that I had no idea what was going on there, but Christ was doing a work. That's what we don't realize. If we'll just do what we're told, we don't have to worry about the end result, because that's Christ's business. We're just to sow the seed, to just do what we're supposed to do. And people's lives will change all around us. We won't even realize it. My wife, she's seen it. She grew up in a Lutheran family. Never really teaching the personalness that we can have between us and Christ. When she was introduced to our church, her whole life changed. Her whole world changed. You know, when we first came here, I don't even remember what day it was. It was our anniversary, wasn't it? One of our anniversaries. We came here for the first time. I had no idea what to expect. I had seen this online, the Pastor Mike online and the Watchman. I'd watched it since 2006, I think, sometime in there. We came in here, we felt loved. We felt like we do at our church. So, I mean, I know you've got it. But just got to spread it out. People have got to see that in you individually, out wherever you're at, if they will see that, you'll see fruit in your life. They just will. I know it's a little early, but I'm going to close. I hope this has been a blessing to you. In Jesus' name.